How many of you put long johns on this morning? Stay warm. Nice to be with you this morning, and I'm so excited for you and finding a pastor so welcome and so good, so good. And I want to congratulate you as a congregation for your perseverance, your prayers, and sticking with things. It's not an easy thing to do, but I congratulate you. I want to speak this morning from Mark chapter 5, verses 24 to 34. There's parallel passages in Matthew 9 and Luke 8. I'll read that, but I want to build around the theme of faith, as was said as a theme today, and just share a really great principle that sometimes we forget in our life of faith. So Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 24. The context, by the way, is that Jesus has come from being across the lake. He comes and Jairus says, "My daughter is sick and about to die. Would you please come?" And of course, Jesus says, "Yeah, he'll come." And so a large crowd is there for the show. They're going to come and see this next miracle that Jesus has lined up. And so this story unfolds as that is taking place. By the way, this is a Markan sandwich. You've heard about that. A Markan sandwich? A Markan sandwich. Mark uses the literary device. He'll start a story, then insert a story in it, and then he'll complete the others, the first story. So this is the meat in the bread, if we could put it that way. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see many people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, enable my words and enable our hearts to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One of the ministries of Jesus, one of the thoughts about Jesus that we love during the Christmas season, is that he is Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Here we have a story of Jesus bringing peace to this lady who was so desperate. But I want to start with this story and scenario to answer the question, what would you think of me? What would you think of me? So it's a work day, and I drive into our Refresh office in Grand Prairie, and I come in the door, and it's dark. The lights are off. Well, this is a problem. I need the lights on so that I can work. But the lights aren't on. And so I phone the manager of the building, and I say, "Tanya," her name's Tanya, "Tanya, my lights aren't on." "Oh," she says, "all the other places, their lights are on. I don't know what's going on." So I said, well, I can't work with the lights are off. So I phoned the power company. My lights aren't working. Can you please send someone? I need the lights on so I can work. Well, Mr. Wall, we don't have any indication that there's a power problem at your building. Well, my lights aren't working. What am I going to do? Are you going to come and fix it? Are you going to come and check? Well, Mr. Wall, have you turned on the light switch? What would you think of me if that scenario unfolded? I appreciated your story. But sometimes we have resources available to us, but we just don't access them. In this story, we have this desperate woman. She has chronic bleeding, and it's stolen her peace. She has physical suffering. As Jesus was on the way to heal Jairus' daughter, the crowd was crushing on him, but there was this lady who had been suffering from ongoing bleeding issues for 12 years. This may have been some kind of chronic problem. We don't know. We just know that she had incredible suffering. And along with the physical suffering, it was bringing all kinds of social suffering. So if you look back in Leviticus chapter 15, all the details are spelled out about what happens to a person who had kind of a chronic hemorrhaging. They became unclean. Anything they sat on became unclean. Their beds became unclean. Anyone who had contact, say as she sat in a chair and somebody else sat in that chair, that person was unclean for the rest of the day at least. So there's this physical suffering, and there is this social suffering. And then there was financial suffering. She had suffered a great deal under many doctors, had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she got worse. So she has physical suffering, she has social suffering, she has financial suffering. And hopelessness was setting in. Dr. Luke, writing about this, said she had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. So you have this desperate situation. Her peace is gone. There's a lot of people getting to desperate situations in our world right now. I notice in Canada, the number of Canadians using the MAID program is going up. It's the highest percentage, I think, in the world. And I just heard a stat, I think it was today, that the percentage of people using the MAID program is inordinately to people who are doing poorly financially. I find that interesting. But a lot of people are getting to this desperate place. And that's where this lady was. Well, we also see, though, in this text, the wonderful hope for peace and help in her desperation. She heard about the power of Christ. And this is how word got around in those days. People would tell stories, and those stories would be repeated. There wasn't social media, or maybe she got on her first Facebook post and saw that Jesus was healing. I don't know how the word got around. Likely not on Facebook, I'm thinking, Stan. What do you think? But the word got around, and a little glimmer of hope started to come to her heart. And Not only did she hear about Jesus bringing healing, she heard that he was near. And so he came within striking distance of her, as it were, and so she joined the crowd. She fought her way through the crowd. She came up behind him. It was a stealth encounter with Christ. It struck me the other day when I was thinking about this. This lady never talked with Jesus at all before she received her healing. It was a stealth reaching out in faith. But she kept this hope forefront in her mind. If I can only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Matthew uses that she said to herself. It's the imperfect tense, so there's this sense she kept saying to herself, if I could just touch his garments, if I could just touch his garments, if I could just touch his garments, I will be healed, I will be healed, I will be healed. The repetition of faith statements, I think, is really a good thing to do. In Psalm 91, where it says, I will save the Lord, he is my refuge. Psalm 91 is about experiencing the peace and care of God. But this, I will say, he is my refuge, it's again in the imperfect tense, so it's an ongoing kind of thing. But she used these repeated words, I believe they were building her faith. But she applied it personally. I've been reading, I'm going to share a little story from the devotions written by C.T. Studd, who years ago led a ministry-based world literature crusade that ended up going around the world, but amazing insights. But he said this, all believers say in a general way, God is almighty. God can do this or that. I believe you can do it, but not through me. Only 1 in 1,000 says, God is almighty in me, and God will do so through me. And just like your wheelbarrow story, only one person would get in the wheelbarrow. C.T. Studd is saying 1 in 1,000 will say, yeah, I believe God can do something for me. Well, she was one of those thousands, one in the thousand. So she heard about Jesus' healing power. She reinforced the truth, and she personally applied it. Speaking about heat, I just share a little story that I heard this past week. So one of the pastors, local pastors, a couple of months ago, or a month or so ago, was invited to go speak in Thailand and India, and had a wonderful experience. But when they got to India, I think it was before their conference even started, they were praying for people. And this one lady came up and asked for prayer, and there was this man who came along and was kind of bowed over and didn't respond in any way. And the lady said, well, he's deaf and he's mute. In other words, he can't hear and he can't speak. So they prayed for him. And the pastor could see something happened. And they were just watching, just said, wow! And this man could suddenly speak and hear, and the first word out of his mouth was, wow! Because that was the first word I think he had ever heard. Well, this pastor comes back and is sharing a story. There's quite a few healings, actually. And it kind of got a little bit contagious, I guess, and their college and career decided to pray for a young man that had lost sight in his one eye. And that sight was restored. So they heard what had happened over here, and it inspired faith to pray here. Very interesting. And that's what happened with this lady. Well, the Lord worked when she reached out. It says that her healing was immediate. The woman was healed from that moment. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. Jesus stopped the bleeding immediately. It was felt. She felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. The results were tangible. So a beautiful intervention of Christ for this desperate woman. But the Lord wasn't done there. Because he is the Prince of Peace, he wanted to take it a little bit farther. And he perceived that this power had gone out of him. The crowds were crushing him almost, but Jesus says, somebody touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. That's in Luke. In Mark, it says, at once Jesus realized power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see, the people crowded against you, his disciples answered. And yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Can you just put yourself in the shoes of the disciples or sandals, whatever you call it, for a minute? So Jesus is moving along and there's people just bumping into him and jostling him and fighting to get close. Everybody's bouncing off and all of a sudden he stops. Whoa! Who touched my garment? What do you think the disciples are thinking? But it was a different touch. It was the touch of faith. A lot of people bump shoulders with Jesus, but a lot of times we don't necessarily reach out like this woman did. Well, Jesus perceived the faith that had reached out, and he did more than heal her physically. He called her out of the crowd, and he just had her acknowledge that she had been healed. He speaks to her. He says, take heart, daughter. Take heart, daughter. You have been made whole. And he sent her off in peace. So not only was she healed physically, she was healed socially. All of a sudden, everybody knew, hey, this lady who we've been trying to keep from touching, who's been ostracizing herself, is now qualified to be among us. And she has this wholeness, this peace. Your faith has healed you. So Jesus healed her physically, but he also healed her socially. We believe also this word peace is comprehensive, not only for the physical, but also for the healing of her soul. And she was freed. But here's the application I want to leave with you and illustrate to you. I want you to consider the resources that are yours in Christ. That sometimes we act as if we don't have them. And encourage you to, by faith, reach for the resources that are already there. This lady, she didn't have to talk Jesus into healing her. She knew he was a healer, and she reached out and touched and received that healing. She knew the resources were already there, and he stopped the bleeding. I want to talk about some resources that are already there for you in your walk with Christ. Is anyone here struggling with a sin pattern that you say, oh man, I just can't beat that. I just can't beat that. It says in Romans chapter 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Anyone here feeling enslaved by a certain sin pattern? Years ago, there was one that I wanted to break. And I would pray, oh, pray. I want to break that. I want to stop that. And I'd do it again. So I memorized this verse and the others around it. And one day, the penny dropped. My victory is already secured in Christ. That resource is already there. I just have to receive it. And that sin pattern was broken. How about those of you who might be struggling with guilt. Anyone struggling with guilt? Like this lady hemorrhaging blood, you're hemorrhaging guilt. And it drags you down, it saps your energy, it steals your joy. Well, the resources to help you stop the bleeding are already there. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The guilt you are wrestling with can be stopped by reaching out and touching Christ for the resource he's made available to you. What if there are issues with just getting weary in the kingdom, a sense of hopelessness? Are there resources available to you in Christ for that? Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. It's there. It's waiting for you. Reach out and touch. Years ago, I came across a little booklet called Himself. It was written by a man named A.B. Simpson, who some of you may realize he was the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance work. But that man had a lot of struggles. He struggled with exhaustion. We would call it burnout today. He struggled with victory for sin. He struggled with some health issues. And he tells in this little booklet called Himself how he discovered Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, he discovered Christ's resources were there for him, whatever these things were that were bleeding him dry. He said, years ago, I became burdened with guilt and fear. I tried that simple secret, and it took away all my fear and sin. Years passed on, and I found sin overcoming me and my temptations too strong for me. I came to him a second time, and he whispered to me, Christ in you. And I had victory and rest and blessing. Then the body broke away of every sort of way. I always worked hard, and from the age of 14, I had studied and labored and spared no strength. I took charge of a large congregation at the age of 21. I broke down utterly half a dozen times, and at last my constitution was worn out. Many times I feared I would drop dead in the pulpit. That's tired. But he too discovered Christ in you, and he was energized for the work, and he went on to do a lot of work. Well, if you want to look, I finally found it online the other day. If you want to read about him, it's by A.B. Simpson, and it's a little booklet called Himself. Well, I'm going to read you. It's story time with Lyndon right now. It came from the devotional by C.T. Studd. And he founded mission work in Africa, and then he went over to China, and he tells this story about the boat road to China. And he says, he writes from China, we were overrun, this is while they're on the boat, we were overrun with rats who during the night would take away our socks, nibbling off our leggings tapes, taking away our blotter paper, and putting them at the bottom of the boat in a nest. This caused us a great deal of annoyance. How many of you would lose your peace if the rats were nibbling on your legs in the middle of the night? I know that would distress me significantly. They caused us a good deal of annoyance, so we thought of setting traps for them. But we decided not to do so, but simply asked the Lord to rid us of the grievance. And since that time, we had no further trouble with them. So what did they reach for? They reached for the authority of Christ, even over rats. My encouragement is access what's already there in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's bleeding you? What's sucking your strength? What's causing you distress day after day? A couple of weeks ago, I was asked to speak at a largely non-faith event. And I was supposed to talk about faith at a non-faith event. How do you do that? Well, my purpose was to lift up Christ and talk about his transformative power, which by God's grace, I think I did. But the night before, I had anxiety like I haven't had in a long time. And realizing what is at stake, I think it was a definite spiritual attack. And so I prayed. Doesn't that what the Bible says? Pray when you have anxiety. Donna, have you read that? You have. I prayed. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. I was as anxious after prayer as before. What do you think of that? Not very good for a preacher to say his prayers about anxiety aren't answered, is it? Is that right? Well, it kind of dawned on me, I think this is an overt spiritual attack. And so out loud I proclaimed, in the name of Jesus, be gone. Did that a couple of times with authority, and you know what? That anxiety just fell away. And all I was doing was reaching out and touching by faith what was already there for me. So I actually had a pretty good sleep that night. And the next day had a great liberty as I spoke. My friends, like this lady, something may be bleeding you to death. In that context, for me, I would have been bled to exhaustion by anxiety. But there were resources in Christ to win the day. What's bleeding you? You see, Jesus has the authority to stop the bleeding. Maybe you're being bled by guilt. Maybe you're being bled by fear, might be anxiety, might be a sin that you can't seem to get past. My encouragement to you is find peace this Christmas by reaching to the Prince of Peace and accessing what's already there. Turn on the lights. The power is just waiting to help you. God bless you.